Support for Spoofhound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome to the first ever Spoofhound Spotlight right here on KXCV KRNW. I'm your host, Jeremy Werner, where we are talking everything Spoofhounds today. And joining me for the first ever Spoofhound Spotlight is the outgoing Maryville R2 Superintendent, Becky Albright, as well as incoming Maryville R2 Superintendent, Logan Lightfoot.
It's weird kind of having both of you on. It's like, I don't want to say it's like a transitional thing, but like this is kind of like a passing of the torch in a way. And I guess one of the first things I thought of, it's kind of silly, but what's the process like between, you know, switching superintendents? Because I kind of think in my mind, like the transition of power for president where, you know, you guys have like different people coming in and then, you know, like, Dr. Lightfoot might come into his office and see a note from you, Dr. Albright. What's the behind the scenes thing like for this transition?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I guess I'll start. Actually, it's been a pretty good process, I think, because Dr. Lightfoot was hired early enough that we've been able to communicate now for several months. So the communication has kind of been emails back and forth, you know, phone calls, text messages, whatnot. Dr. Lightfoot's been able to be in the district several days, you know, kind of here and there throughout the transition. So anything big that's impacting next year, planning purposes, we've been pretty careful to communicate. And, you know, I can easily take care of the routine day to day, but I feel like anything that's going to impact how things go next year, we've tried to bring him into the loop and let him know what's going on and weigh in and have a little bit of input. He's attended some board meetings. I think from my perspective, that's what it looked like. Some frequent communication.
Yeah. I would say honestly, I didn't know what to expect going into it. You know, I took the job in December and really just, I can speak for me personally, kind of my main goal for the semester was really to kind of just get my feet on the ground and get to know folks a little bit, maybe get to know our admin team and visit the buildings, that kind of thing. But I tell you what, we have got some really, really good folks that work in our district office, and including Dr. Albright. And just the transition, I don't know if it could have been smoother coming in. And, you know, I'm from Missouri, but I've spent my last 4 years in Nebraska. So there's a lot of things I just simply don't know. And just they've been incredibly helpful, whether it be budget, whether it be personnel, things like that. Just kind of getting to know, you know, what are some things that I might want to look at the next 1, 2, 3 months or even beyond that. It's been great. And I would say probably more of an informal communication with Becky and I. And it's been huge for me just being able to ask questions. And I feel like when July 1 hits, I'm really going to be able to, you know, kind of hit the ground running just because they've been so helpful in getting me ready to that point.
The school transition, one thing that makes that easier, Dr. Lightfoot mentioned, is the team in place. You know, you don't run a school district in isolation. You have a team of great people that really make you look good. I've been fortunate to have that at Maryville, and he's going to have the same. So those people are in place. There's not changeover in our building leadership or the central office personnel, so they'll be in place. They know how things go. They'll be great resources, but also school districts are governed by a strategic plan, a CSIP, that outlines the key goals that really influence the decisions you make and the budgetary allocations that you make. So that also helps make a smooth transition because those documents are in place, those people are in place. So, you know, just trusting the process.
And, you know, for those who don't know, which I don't want to say it, I'm one of them, but I am kind of in the dark about some things since I've only been here for about 2, 3 years now. But, you know, just as a refresher, you know, how long have you been with the Maryville R2 School District?
I am finishing my 7th year with Maryville R2. My 16th as a superintendent because at my previous district, I was there for 9 years. So I feel pretty fortunate to have been here for 7 years. Almost saw two sets of kids clear through the high school, which is kind of nice because graduation is always a big deal. So I've seen 7 classes graduate.
So is this it for your time in education?
Well, it's it for my time in public education as far as a full-time day job. I have some plans with some consulting that I'm doing with other districts on a private level, but I will not be doing that for someone else. I'll be doing that for myself.
So retirement is still on the horizon.
It is on the horizon. I'm looking forward to some free time to do things that I enjoy, and you just don't have time whenever you work at school every day.
Well, that kind of just like eliminates a bunch of questions I had about retirement. So unless that is something you've like thought about down the line as to what you want to do with retirement.
Well, like I said, I'm doing some consulting work with school districts who want to contract with me privately to help guide them on CSIP. I mentioned that strategic planning. So DESE requires that from school. So I'm working on that as a venture kind of privately from a business standpoint. But just in my free time, I look forward to having some time to, take walks and read books and spend time with family that maybe I haven't had a chance to do for quite some time.
So I'm curious, in the transition period, in the first few months, with you adjusting to the, district, Dr. Lightfoot, I'm thinking of my own life in terms of asking questions from people that, I'm filling the role in for or things like that. Is there going to be instances, do you think, or has this happened before where you are doing something and you just are kind of wanting some insight or wisdom and you might just, shoot Dr. Albright a text like, hey, this came up. What was it that you did?
That's kind of a funny question or funny response to your question. I took the job and I remember sitting down probably a couple of weeks later and I opened up a Google Doc and I thought I'd just ask Dr. Albright a few questions. Well, my few questions turned into 25. And for a week, I hesitated. I was, gosh, she's going to think I'm peppering her with these questions. But so I sent them off, and that kind of set the tone for our communication in my mind. Just incredibly helpful. And so to answer your question on that, there's going to be things that come up. I mean, just when you talk about just leading district operations, there's going to be things that I just don't have context on. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. But,
no, that's fine. I want nothing more than Dr. Lightfoot to be successful. I've invested 7 years here, and we've grown, and we've done a lot of great things, and there are a lot of great people here, students, staff that I really care about. So I want things to go really well, and I'll be more than happy to help him out whenever the need be. But he's also a proven professional, and I'm sure he's going to do a great job, and he'll want to put his own personal stamp on things. So I'm sure that he will be an independent thinker and do that, personalize the situation and grow it even more. So we'll work together if need be, but I have complete confidence that he'll be able to do a great job on his own.
Okay. So after the, past 7 years, is there anything you kind of reflect on as some of your favorite moments in your position?
Oh, there's always a lot of good moments, and you do stop and reflect at times like now. One thing I think was really exciting and a big step forward for the district was when we opened up the Maryville Early Childhood Center. I really am a big believer in early childhood education. It's not flashy. It doesn't often get the credit it deserves. But I think that was a huge step forward in making better outcomes from a lot of kids. I feel by focusing on those early years up through kindergarten, our kids in first through fourth grade have flourished. We've seen great results. And opening that facility, there was a huge day for us. There was a lot of planning, a lot of budgeting, a lot of challenges we had to overcome. And we were fortunate to get a great leader in Michelle McCollum to kind of see that through to the end. Get it open, and there's a fabulous staff over there, and they do great things every day. Some people think that kids that age that, you teach kindergarten, you teach preschool, how hard can it be? Well, it's really hard. It is a hard job, and it's one of the most important jobs because it sets the tone, for a kid's academic career all the way through graduation. So I'm really proud and excited that we were able to get that done.
And maybe either of you can chime in on this, but I've always been under the assumption and belief that, I think it's 3 to 6, maybe 5 years old are very impressionable for a child in terms of their education, in terms of, going forward, and they're able to pick up on very specific things in that age bracket. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely. That's the formative years. There's so much growth and brain development during those years that is absolutely important. And that's why it's so important to have people who are knowledgeable in that stage of child development and have a facility that can just focus on that.
Okay.
And I was just going to add, you can tell that our district has put an emphasis on that in the past, in our CSIP, but moving forward too, we've got a lot of goals and plans on really expanding that program. You think about Maryville and you think about the kids that are coming into our school system, the more we can prepare, back to your point, to the formative years, as they get into our school system, the more prepared they're going to be getting into those upper elementary grades and then middle school and high school. So it really does. If you can set that tone early and provide some great services for those kids at that age, oh man, I mean, the results are just, they're great.
And do you have any aspirations as you are about to start for the district, or any kind of vision for the future?
You know, I do. And we, you know, we've talked a lot about, and they've done some great things with early childhood. And I've talked to a couple of our people on our admin team. You know, I really feel like something that I'm pretty passionate myself personally about. You hear the buzzword college and career readiness, and it kind of is at this point, but there's a lot of truth to that. You know, with what kids at 18 years old really need when they graduate high school is different than what it looked like 10, 20, even maybe even 5 years ago. I feel like we have got a vast amount of resources in Maryville in our community, and I want to make sure, you know, working with our admin team, we might look at some different kinds of programming to really meet some individual needs of kids at the high school level, to when they get out, you know, when they do get that high school diploma, that they have options, whether it be college, whether it be specialized workforce, or whatever that might be. And the neat thing about our community, we have so many, just from what I can even tell so far, so many businesses, so many corporations that really want to partner with our school district, that really want to provide our kids with top-notch education. And so that's something, you know, moving forward, that we're really going to work together as an admin team to make sure that we tap into those and really maximize that for our kids.
Okay. You know, going to, you know, topics, you know, in the school district now, I assume that, you know, there is a dark cloud kind of hanging over school districts right now, especially after the shooting in Texas. Has there been any questions or comments from the community after that in terms of safety in the school district?
Just recently, we've had a few people reach out to us and ask, do we have protocols in place? What's your response in a similar situation? So I think people are concerned, and rightly so. But I often try to reassure them that we do have plans in place. Some of those plans we don't advertise because we want to be prepared and don't mm-hmm. always want everyone to know that plan. So some confidentiality is important. But we do have plans in place. We do meet all the guidelines that are set forth from us, from our governing bodies, as far as the number of drills that we do, the types of training that we provide. We're very fortunate in Maryville to have an SRO, a school resource officer, in Ian Meyer. And Ian is great. He does a great job. He goes to buildings on an individual basis and talks to them about their response and situations tailored to that specific building. So I feel like we could do a good job of personalization for all the different facilities that we have. We have secured entrances at all the buildings, so visitors and during school hours have to be buzzed in and kind of pass a informal protocol. So I feel like we take a lot of precautions. Obviously, you can't be prepared for every situation, but you have to train people and have the belief in them that they have common sense. And with that common sense and the training that we provide, they'll make good decisions in the moment, because we do want all of our kids and our staff safe.
And, you know, has, you know, we've seen several governors announce more funding for school security. Has there been any rumblings that you've kind of heard about Governor Mike Parson potentially boosting funding for security at schools?
Well, you know, he has a background in law enforcement, so that wouldn't shock me, but I really haven't been made aware of anything with credibility that could happen. They did release some money this year for transportation, the best funding we've had in that since 1991. So I'm not sure that most of their funds might be already allocated to other sources, but, you know, if grants would become available and things, obviously, I mean, the school would always consider and look into those avenues for additional revenue.
Okay. And so in the school district itself, summer school is coming to an end. You know, what are things like between the end of summer school and the start of the fall semester in the school district, since we are about to enter July?
So my days in office will be drop by and handle things by phone call, email, whatnot, come in case of emergency or a need. But I will finish summer school out. But when July hits, then I will be done. And that will roll over to Dr. Lightfoot. And, you know, I can't speak for his activities. And mine were preparing for the upcoming year. But I'll let him speak to what he plans to do in July.
You know, from July until August, that's to me, that's a really critical time. You know, there's not a lot going on in terms of programming in the school, obviously, but when you're coming in brand new, we're going to do some retreats with our admin team. We're going to do some retreats with our Board of Education, really just to get us all kind of on the same page and really kind of focus on, you know, what's really important to us in the upcoming school year. And, you know, I can't say with definitively exactly what that's going to be, just because I think that's, you know, I have an idea of direction on where I think we really do need to go, but it really is a team, kind of a team decision on, you know, some ways we might get there. And so I think, you know, about middle of July, we're going to have a retreat with our admin team, and we're going to really talk about those things. What's important? What are some things that maybe we wanted to get done in the previous year, but maybe aren't necessarily done, and kind of focus on those kinds of things. So really, you know, once July 1 hits, that 4 to 6 weeks after that, for me at least, is pretty critical just really setting the stage for what the next year is going to look like.
Yeah, I think there's a common misconception that maybe you had said, you know, it's kind of quiet, not a lot happens, but I think a lot of people would be surprised with how busy people are with things that happen to come up, because there are tons of kids in our buildings. Our buildings are used with camps and open gyms and weights and summer school. I mean, between the elementary and the high school, we have, you know, over 400 kids on site right now today. So there's a lot of little things that just come up that'll keep both of us busy. And then we have facilities that are being used. Northwest is there, team basketball camp. They'll do that a few times throughout the summer. You had mentioned our performing arts center gets rented out occasionally through the summer. So we have a lot of things going on that just require decision and guidance on the spur of the moment, really every day of the week.
Okay. And, you know, the other thing, you know, district-wise is the budget, which I know you and I had talked last time about how there were still some pieces waiting to fall into place. Have all the pieces now fallen into place?
No, but more have. Okay. That's kind of the thing with the budget. We have statutorily have to have something approved by June 30th, and we did that. It's in a much better place than it was in May. We've had allocations for our title programs. We've had allocations for some of our enhancement grants that have been finalized now, so we were able to update those numbers. But there's still a lot of guesstimation. Maryville is very heavily funded through local funds, and so when we set the tax levy in August, that's determined by our assessed valuation, and those numbers aren't finalized. That usually happens in August. So there are things like that that will require updates. There will be several updates probably made in August, and then a few really ongoing throughout the year as different withholdings and releases are made by the state.
Okay. And one of the big things to come out of the budget, at least, you know, Jefferson City and everything, is teacher pay. Is that still something where I'm trying to remember what the minimum is, like 32?
Was 25, but they moved it to 38.
Okay. So is that going to be on par with what the state wants?
Yes, our not last night's meeting, but the meeting prior, we added another $500 to our base certified salary, and that brought starting pay in our district to $38,000 for a new fresh out of college teacher. We also took the additional step of adding an extra quarter to our support staff salaries to kind of keep those equitable and in line as well.
Okay, and not to put you on the spot, Dr. Lightfoot, but the understanding I've gotten from lawmakers is that this is just kind of a temporary year thing, the program to boost teacher salaries across the state of Missouri. Do you think you'll be able to continue what was started this year with teacher pay and then, you know, possibly even increase it next year? Is that something that hasn't been discussed yet?
Oh, I think for sure to continue it. Absolutely. We just, with the state of education now, retaining and getting good quality teachers, it's tougher. I mean, it's tougher than it was, you know, I would guess probably in the beginning of Dr. Albright's tenure even. So yeah, we want to make sure that we find good people and we keep them. And to be really frank, one of the main ways to do that is make sure that they're very competitively compensated. So yeah, that's certainly, in fact, going back to the CSIP, that's one of the goals in our CSIP is very specifically to make sure that we kind of meet that top threshold of even our conference in terms of teacher pay. And that's certainly something we're going to be looking to keep doing. So,
and just so the people like kind of have an understanding, you said it's, you know, really hard to retain teachers. Why do you think that is?
It's a very simple question with a complicated answer.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of, and this is a problem all across our country. You know, it's, you look at the number of people going into the teaching force to begin with, I think it's probably down a little bit. I guess I can't speak necessarily for Northwest Missouri area, but, you know, I experienced it where I came from in central Nebraska. I don't think necessarily people go into education, and I know they don't, looking to, you know, make gobs of money or anything like that. People go in that have the heart to teach kids, and they want to help people. And really, I mean, I don't think there's fewer people like that in our world today, but I think really probably one of our biggest challenges is to really reach some of those, you know, college age, even high school age kids and show them the benefits of teaching and what it really does, how they can change lives and how you can really have a very meaningful and impactful career in it. And maybe it's kind of getting back to our roots and doing that, I think, might help a little bit globally, specifically for our area. I think probably with what we've done so far, when I say we, Maryville, you know, making sure that we're really competitive in pay. And, you know, you probably haven't spent a whole lot of time in our school district just in the buildings day to day, but we have a great culture. To put it very simply, we have teachers and we have employees that want to be there. And really keeping that to where if you keep that culture high and you keep the pay competitive, you're really going to keep and retain good people.
And you mentioned earlier that a lot of teachers kind of enter the field because, you know, it's their passion. It's what they love doing or what, a college graduate, they would love to do. I guess from your own perspective, you know, long ago, well, not long ago, I don't want to date you, but, you know, what was it that, you know, made you, you know, want to enter the education system? What was that moment where you're like, this is what I want to do?
I was a sophomore in high school, and I was in sophomore English, and we read Of Mice and Men. And I remember I had a fantastic English teacher. And, you know, she kind of drew these lessons out of the book. You know, really, you know, what does it really mean to be a true friend? What does it mean to really make an impact on other people? And it struck a chord with me. And, I mean, I don't want to get too corny, but really it was at that moment, I was 15 years old, I knew I wanted to be a high school English teacher. And came to Northwest and was an English major and never switched, never looked back. So, and to that point, there are plenty of folks like me, you know, at 15 years old, that if they really do see the benefits and how much they can really impact other people, I think you're going to get great people in education.
So the Of Mice and Men, I kind of have two questions surrounding that. First, it's kind of personal. Do they still read that in schools? Of Mice and Men? Okay, absolutely. Good. I read that in school, and I think it's a very important book.
I agree.
It's one of those just kind of time capsules of what things used to be like, and it's still, I assume, very jarring for some students to read, like, oh, that's what people used to be like. The second is there's a lot of discussion about, you know, books in schools and what exactly is being taught and what is the, you know, beliefs behind certain books. Has there been any, and this is probably just for both of you, but has there been any complaints or any concerns from the community about books in the Maryville R2 school district, whether it's the library or part of a teacher's curriculum?
In the time I've been here, we've had no one form a formal complaint where we have a committee that would look into that or something if we had a request, but we've not had any formal request for anything like that since I've been here.
Okay.
You know, you do have parents or people that reach out and have some questions, but to date, that's been able to be handled with a conversation.
Just figured I'd throw that out there. I know
sure.
There's a lot of rumblings out there. I made a note, and I don't remember where this was in the Board of Education, agenda. Because I did not write that down, but I made a note of superintendent artwork.
I know what you're referring to.
Okay,
yes.
What
it's
is
not my artwork?
Yeah.
One of the things I started when I came to Maryville was taking a piece of art that a student had created during the school year and something that was representative and good quality work and just honestly something that I liked and caught my eye. For a permanent collection at the district office. So if you would come in for a board meeting or to visit, you would see a lot of student artwork displayed there at central office. And that's called the permanent collection. And typically we have anywhere from one to three pieces representing the different buildings. For next year, we had one, and we had that student recognized, William Davison. He was a third grader, going to be fourth grader, and he did a really cool watercolor that shows an astronaut. It has space in the background, an American flag, and it's really nice work.
That does sound cool.
Especially for a young artist. He really did a great job.
He did.
So he got to come in last night and present that to the Board of Education and hang it on the wall himself. So.
And will that be something you'll continue?
Yeah. What a neat – I mean, just – yeah. It was neat to watch him and his family last night, and he did. That was a fantastic piece. It really was. I couldn't do that myself.
Well, when I saw that in the agenda, I was just kind of visualizing two different things. One, you know, you kind of going through the art rooms and picking things you like, and then the other was like, I'm going to go home and hang this on my refrigerator. So do you guys actually like frame these and like put them up like it's a, you know,
yes.
Like, okay, that does sound cool.
Yeah. Sometimes we matted frame them, you know, nothing professional. We do it ourselves, but they're usually large pieces, 11 by 14, a lot of them. Some are even larger. We have a variety of things. We have marker, we have pencil drawing, we have watercolor. It just kind of depends. Like I said, usually we, at the middle school and high school level, the art teachers probably pick out a few of the pieces they think are really good and then let us pick from those. The elementary school usually has an art show when it's not COVID time. They have an art show in the spring where every student has something on display, and I like to go over and kind of look through those and pick something out.
Now, what's the craziest thing you've seen? I mean, I know crazy being kind of a subjective word, but just something you go, whoa, you like stop and just have to take it in.
Artwork?
Yeah.
Well, they do a really interesting thing. I wouldn't say it's crazy or odd, but at the middle school, Chandra DeMott does, Chandra DeMott is our teacher there, and she does kind of a theme almost yearly that ties in with their leadership group. And so some years she'll have a jungle theme. So the kids work on artwork and paper mache, and they put it out in the hall, so it's like you're walking through the jungle. And one year it was like under the sea, and they did, you know, you walk through and there's this huge paper mache whale or dolphin, and I think that's really cool. I look forward to seeing that each year and seeing what she does.
Okay. Well, those are, you know, all the questions I have about the school district and board and all of that. Was there anything going on? I'm sure there's a lot going on for you next month, Dr. Lightfoot, but was there anything happening or anything that is about to happen either of you wanted to mention that I maybe neglected to not spot or...
A little known thing that's happening here is we're sending a team of teachers. We received a teacher retention grant, and one of the focuses of that grant is to keep good people in your district and to grow young teachers. With COVID, we have not probably been able to do some of the professional development outside the district that we would have done in the past, but we're able to send a team to a model schools conference, which is a national level conference that's coming out of those grant funds that are earmarked for that. So it is a great way to not have to use our local money to fund teachers going out. We have it coming in as revenue earmarked, and they're going to get to go out and go to this conference where there are literally hundreds of opportunities that they can pick and choose things that relate to their classroom, their curriculum, their social emotional development of the students, the age that they teach, and learn from that and bring it back and then train in our local PD days their peers at our local meetings. So that's something that we haven't done, I know, since I've been here, I think for a long time in the past, but we're really excited to send a good good group of teachers out and then look forward to them coming back and being kind of mentors or teachers for their peers.
There's not a lot I can add to that. My family just moved here, and so we're going to take a couple of weeks and, to be honest, really just kind of get to know Maryville and we've got our kids involved in some camps and things like that, and yeah, just really kind of enjoying as Maryville residents before we hit the ground as Maryville R2 employees.
Okay.
One other thing that's happening this summer that I should probably mention is a lot of people don't realize that we have so many people that do extra things that work all summer. You know, like I mentioned, a lot of our coaches and our activity sponsors, they're in having practice, open gyms and camps. Two of our tech school employees, Jeremy Lacey and Dylan Steens, they are 12-month employees. They're working all summer long, doing farm visits, taking their kids to camps and FFA meetings, prepping for those types of things, also accompanying them to fairs whenever they participate and show livestock. You know, they go out to the farm and meet with these kids and their families, and they're incredibly hard workers and valuable employees to the district. They do a lot of great things for kids, and summer is really probably their busiest time.
Okay. Well, the thing I'm going to end most every episode on is I don't mean to steal from Stephen Colbert, who did Better Know a District, but this will be Better Know a Superintendent. And these are just random questions that just enter my head, have no connective tissue whatsoever. Yeah. So I guess one that, you know, I thought of because it is summer is, you know, from your childhood, what was the best trip or outing that, you know, you have a memory of, something like really fondly that you remember, whether it was a family vacation or just like a weekend excursion or, you know, just simply going to like a ice cream parlor on hot summer nights or something?
You want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, I grew up, I kind of split my time. My family's my dad was a railroad guy, and so we spent the first 10 years of my life in Texas and then moved to Nebraska. And there was a little place in Elkhorn, Nebraska called the Dairy Chef. And it was, you know, you might call it a knockoff of Dairy Queen. I'd call it better than Dairy Queen. And I just remember those summer nights after, you know, baseball and all that, and heading to the D Chef. And it's kind of neat coming full circle because where I grew up, you know, in Elkhorn, Maryville reminds me an awful lot like that. And so I'm kind of excited for my son, who was my age when I moved to Nebraska, to really get some of those kinds of experiences here.
My family didn't do a lot of vacations and things like that in the summer. But one thing that we did do is we lived on a really small little hobby farm, and we showed livestock in the summer. And so probably one of my best memories is every year we would go to the state fair. I guess that was our version of vacation, although it was an awful lot of work. And we'd be there for a week showing livestock, but, you know, taking in the fair. So that was something that I look forward to and was fun. I really enjoyed it. It's probably why I have a soft spot for the things that go on with FFA and things in the summer now.
Okay. I'm not going to answer on my end, but I don't really have one. And then the other one is just kind of generic. But is there – what are you currently binging or have recently binged that you would like to throw out there? Because I feel like everybody, especially now, has an opinion on something everybody needs to watch. I know I could probably list off a dozen things, but...
Dr. Albright?
I could list off a dozen things because that's how I like to relax. I'm a late-night TV watcher. The most recent thing I finished was The Lincoln Lawyer.
Oh.
It's on Netflix. It's based on a book. I've read the book. I've seen the movie. And now I've watched, I think it's a 10-episode series.
So out of all three, which is the best?
Books are always the best, right?
That's a good answer.
Oh, on my end, gosh, where we moved from, it was hard to get, you know, cable and the dish and those kinds of things. So we relied on streaming a lot. There were two things that I watched. I kind of go back and forth on. Seinfeld, my all-time favorite television show. There's never a bad time to watch a Seinfeld episode. And
Someone here you should talk to then. He is a huge Seinfeld fan.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, that's...
He quotes it randomly, and I mean, I've watched every episode, but when he quotes it randomly and I don't know it, I'm like, you're either referencing Seinfeld, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or Workaholics.
I could probably pick up every single one of his quotes too. And for some reason there's this show, and I don't even know if it's still on. It's called Superstore. It's kind of like these employees that work at kind of a knockoff Walmart. And anyway, we started to get into that, and it's pretty funny.
Okay. Well, anything else?
I don't think so. Jeremy, I appreciate you having us both in.
Well, I thank you for coming on, and thank you for your work over the past 7 years, and hopefully thank you for your work over the next however many years.
You bet. Absolutely.
Thank you for having us in, and thank you for always checking in with me on days after board meeting. You've always been very easy to work with, and I've enjoyed that, and I've enjoyed my time in Maryville. So thanks for my last interview.
All right. Well, I just want to thank you, too, for joining me. That is outgoing Maryville R2 Superintendent Becky Albright and incoming Maryville R2 Superintendent Logan Lightfoot as we discussed everything Spoofhounds. Also want to give a shout out and thanks to our underwriters, the City of Maryville and Kawasaki. This has been the Spoofhound Spotlight. You can catch it on the final Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. right here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.